All right, so I'm back. This was mostly my colleague, Melissa Hogan-Study, who, as I said, is the veterinary pharmacist that I work with. So one of the things, as I was listening to the very interesting presentation by Dr. Hill there, I was pondering over one of the questions that the gentleman there had for me. And I was going to say that, you know, while we have all these regulations, do realize that we have all these different agencies who are working in silos. So we have the FDA. The FDA has overall regulation or oversight in terms of regulation. However, the state boards have their own individual states, and then now you have the DEA coming in from the other end saying if it's controlled substances, then it's our domain. So again, think about it in terms of those turf wars. But sort of following up on Catherine's presentation on zoonosis there, this was a little pilot study that was done by Melissa, and I came in towards the back end, so I'll try to do as much justice as I can to it. But this is zoonosis mostly from canine companions that we're interested in. And she was mostly interested in looking at heartworm preventatives usage throughout the year by pet owners or canine owners. And so roundworms and hookworms are primary concerns with canines. They're primary canine infestations along with also with heartworms. Both roundworms and hookworms are transmitted by lactating mothers to their nursing puppies or also through soil, or if they ingest any infested prey animals, then that sort of infestation can occur. Hookworm larvae actually attach to the canine host's intestinal tract, so there's a lot of competition for blood leading to anemia and those kinds of things. And then heartworms are obviously, as you know, transmitted through mosquito bites, and if left untreated, can actually may result in death of that canine. Zoonosis is really any infection or disease that's naturally transmissible from vertebrate to humans, per the World Health Organization, and you did present the statistics. I'm not going to bore everybody again. From canines, the major concerns are roundworms and hookworms, especially if you have younger children in the house. There is more of a chance of that transmission going to happen. Roundworms may migrate in the human host and insist in the eye, and this can actually lead to blindness. Hookworms, on the other hand, can cause anemia. They can also cause protein deficiencies. In some cases, they've been known to cause congestive heart failure. So again, those kinds of infestations, if left untreated, are clearly have consequences to them. Preventing zoonosis, obviously the number one thing with any sort of prevention is sanitation and hygiene. So we want everybody to wash their hands after they've handled their pets and things like that. However, we realize that in real life that may not necessarily happen, especially if you have little children. They're playing around with their, you know, their dogs. Things get ingested. So one of the things that can help prevent this transmission or stop this cycle of transmission is actually giving those canines their monthly heartworm preventatives. So ivermectin, which is HeartGuard Plus, or Interceptor, which is milbemycin oxime. These two, not many people are aware of this, are effective against all three kinds of worms, not just heartworms. They do reduce the potential of human contact with those worm eggs and larvae. But there is little research into the knowledge and perception of zoonosis in the United States by canine owners. And so after looking around quite a bit to look at background studies, I found one that sort of was the closest to what it is that Melissa had intended to do, where they did a study in Brazos, Texas, and about 98% of respondents in that study heard that they'd heard of rabies, which was sort of more of a zoonosis concern in that area. And so that was about the closest I could get to it. There are a couple of other studies that have alluded to zoonosis in terms of roundworms and hookworms and have looked at some sort of heartworm preventive use, but it's really very sporadic and it's very few and far between. So the primary objective of this pilot was to determine the level of heartworm medication use and awareness amongst a small sample of pet owners, and to determine whether the awareness about zoonosis would lead to them using or giving the pet heartworm preventives to their pets year-round as opposed to just a couple months a year. So we did a convenient, or they did a convenient sample of dog owners at the veterinary clinic, which is sort of a more educated, if you will, you know, better group of owners than some might say. They did a survey on heartworm preventive use and awareness of zoonosis. So in the pilot study, about 100 surveys were administered and 74 were deemed complete when I looked at them and could be used for analysis, and I used SPSS to do that. I'm not going to give you the entire data on it because it's not one of the best surveys I've seen. There were about 30 males and 42 females, and they looked at different kinds of questions as to whether these pets were mostly indoor versus outdoor, what kind of turf they went out on, whether it was grass, whether it was concrete, and those kinds of things. But the important thing is that only 29 owners, so that's only 39% out of that sample, reported year-round administration of heartworm preventives. Everybody said, yes, yes, we do give our pets heartworm. We do give our dogs HeartGuard Plus or, you know, the other one, ivermectin. Only 29 of them said, yes, we give them consistently year-round, which is very concerning because most people cited cost as a factor under their anecdotal comments and said they're expensive, so I'm only going to give them when the mosquitoes come out. Now, like I said, this group of owners that was surveyed was, you know, sort of assumed to be more informed in respect that they're bringing their pets to the veterinarian, they're getting their regular checkups, they're keeping the vaccinations updated. So it's a more informed and concerned group of owners. And if this is sort of the incidence we get with these people, then you can imagine what's out there. 19 of them reported missing 4 to 6 months each year, which actually doesn't correlate with the previous statistics. So either some people weren't saying the truth or, you know, I know what was happening out there. And only 21 owners were aware of prevention of zoonotic infections through this medication. Most of them just thought, oh, it's HeartGuard, prevents heartworm infections. And that was that. So really, we didn't find any significant relationship between the year-round heartworm use. However, we did see that more people who were giving their pets heartworm, even if it was a couple months a year, especially during mosquito season, they seemed to be aware of zoonosis. And they ended up asking them on the survey where they found this information, and it was various sources. So they either had their veterinarian tell them or they found some pamphlets and they read them, so whatever the case might be. But it's interesting that most people in general may not be really aware of this kind of zoonosis that could occur, and worms can be transmitted from dogs to people. The heartworm medications are really, if you think about antibiotics, sort of broad spectrum in the sense that they're covering all three kinds of worms. So even if owners feel like it's expensive, it's actually worth the expense to give their pets year-round because now you're preventing not just one, you're preventing three kinds of worms. We believe that awareness of prevention of the zoonotic transmission to humans may actually encourage pet owners to give their pets medications year-round as opposed to just a couple of times a year. Not sure if that's necessarily true. Like I said, it's more of a public health concern and more of a personal concern, too, because I wouldn't want my child playing around with my dog and, you know, not knowing what's going to happen next. So obviously, more education is needed to improve that sort of compliance. Now, I've noticed that there are some educational pamphlets and, you know, information that's out there. How much of it is reaching those canine owners? How much of it they're understanding is still sort of questionable. So that's sort of very, very quick, abrupt, brief thing. Yes. So that's a great question. And yeah, like I said, I came in on the tail end on the statistics portion of it. This was actually only conducted at one veterinarian clinic. So it was just one consistent veterinarian. And this doctor did actually recommend year-round prevention, heartworm prevention. And that's what the owners in their anecdotal comments also ended up saying, was that even though we know that we're supposed to give it year-round, you know, they're almost like bad parents. They're like, we're supposed to give it, but we really don't, because we feel like the mosquitoes are not out year-round, but it's not necessarily true. And, you know, there's other things that can be prevented too. So, again, like I said, this was a pilot. We're still preparing our IRB to actually do more surveys and studies in different areas. So we want to look at veterinarians in a certain socioeconomic neighborhood, you know, and then something else to compare it out to, so we have a much better comparison of what's going on. Yes.
What was the location of this clinic? What state I missed?
Illinois. Yes.
So is heartworm prevalent there? So if you don't treat the dog,
in Illinois. It's actually very well controlled in the sense that most pet owners have been encouraged to give heartworm preventives, and, you know, they're tested. Most people will bring their dogs in. And so it's not sort of, it's not like heartworms running amok or there's no, like, huge prevalence out there. Again, these kinds of studies are really hard to find because this is sort of more anecdotal evidence than, you know, you have to go around looking for. But I haven't really found a huge sort of incidence, so to speak, of heartworm infestations in Illinois.
I did practice there a long time ago, and we told people they didn't have to give heartworm from November through March. But that was when it was, that one told them it was a long time. Mm-hmm. I didn't do anything to ground worms or anything else.
Right. Yes. Right. I'll let the veterinarian answer that a little bit better than I can.
I didn't do any research on it. But there are places that if your dogs aren't on heartworms, they're going to get a period done.
Mm-hmm.
But the ground worms were just depending on were they in contact with other dogs. So if you drew it once, did they?
Well, if they're going at a dog park or if they're playing around with other dogs or if they're eating, like dogs usually eat feces.
Yes.
Yeah, very gross. But yeah, so again, if there's roundworm larvae or eggs in there, then it's going to travel through the tract and they're going to contract it. I think it's fairly common for dogs to have roundworms and hookworms. They can be treated and it's actually slightly better than, I mean, heartworm, heartguard. I know in Illinois it's very highly practiced. I mean, there's a lot of information that goes around. Even my veterinarian, three of them that have changed over the years have said, you know, give it to them year-round, give it to them year-round. And so, yes. Oh, absolutely. To be honest, I haven't actually come across anything that did look at incidence or prevalence in pounds and shelters and whatnot. But yeah, I mean, I would not suspect them of, you know, being free of worms for sure. That might be, no, absolutely. I think that might be a great way to, you know, sort of get them or encourage them to go year-round on that. And you're right, one of the most common reasons cited was cost, actually, and they said it's expensive, so I don't want to buy it for the whole year. The other thing also, like in Illinois, it's cold a couple months a year, so they said, well, the mosquitoes are not out, they're not biting my dog, not getting heartworm. But that's the thing, most people who said that weren't aware that this also prevents roundworms and hookworms. So again, I sort of feel like a two-pronged approach that with, you know, sort of like the stick and then the carrot saying, you know, if you do this, then you're also preventing roundworms and hookworms. So you're getting three benefits instead of one in one pill. And that might make it a better sell. I don't know. Yes.
I'm just curious if that that became a handout that was, you know, created by HeartGuard or Interceptor that usually explains, you know, going for HeartGuard Plus. The benefits of it, where they gave that and start on it so that maybe the person has been given some information that has more than just HeartGuard.
I can go back and check exactly what kind of information was given. I know the pamphlets are there. At least at my vet's office, they're there, and I can read them or not. It's up to me. It's like pharmacy. We see patients, you know, at least I don't practice, but I do research in pharmacy, and I see patients all the time who you give them information, they'll glance at it and say, oh, okay, just tell me what I need to do. How many times a day do I need to take this? And in general, I've found that patients don't really like to read volumes of information. And so this might be one of those things where, you know, they're getting the information. They might have been handed it, but they might not just have read through it. So. I don't know. Is there anything else?
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Before we go, I just have one question, Catherine. Are you aware of any state or local regulations or licensing or permits for people that are importing, vendors that are importing honey badgers and giant African rats and other great pets? Is there anything like that?
Well, there are some, I think there are some, I don't want to say loopholes, but you can be permitted even, you know, I think we see this a lot in facilities like petting zoos and, you know, some theme parks that make animals, and it's not, you know, necessarily the best sanitary infrastructure. Sometimes it may be, you know, really well had equipment. Sometimes it's really that someone is importing it for the pet trade and then they call it something else so that it's allowed in. So that's kind of a way to
get. Do they need a permit or a license or anything from the state?
If it's a regulated species, they would need
a permit.
Or even, you know, to go through the legal chain, they would still need a permit, but, you know, it might be quite easy to get that permit.
Anything else? Well, thank you very much. Oh, I'm sorry.
Sorry, we are, my institution is not an ROA institution. We are looking for collaborators. So if you have a sphere ion torrent that you can help to genotype some of these bacteria that we have, or you know a microbiologist, we are looking for a collaborator. We have these samples and we've frozen and different bacteria.
By the way, we'd like the cards that we do as well. All right. Thank you very much. Have a great evening. Yes, sir.
Everybody
at 6:30? Oh, yes, we're having our business meeting. I'm sorry. The business meeting for the Veterinary Public Health Day is in the Adams Room in this building at 6:30 tonight. And we have two phenomenally, I think, great sessions tomorrow also.